Romans 3, kiddos, take off. Romans 3. Okay, let's go and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. I pray that Spirit give us understanding that we might understand the scriptures. I pray that you'd help us also to understand the liberty that's found for the new believer. And I just pray you'd help us to recognize this and be more than conquerors, as Paul said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans 1:2 talks about the sinfulness of man. Chapter 3, you get down to verse 19, you'll see that all the world's guilty before God. And he has the solution in verse 21, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And if you would take note of, 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, notice, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Notice the righteousness of God comes by faith of Jesus Christ, but that's given to those that believe. Very precise wording here. 23, obviously, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Okay, then down to 28, he concludes this idea. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, because he's talking to Jewish people. Is the God of the Jews, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. There's a unique difference there. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. I'm always amazed with several things, but you know, I'm amazed at how Satan is so subtle, just very subtle, to deceive people. We live in a day and age where people always talk about, just have faith, you just got to have faith, you know, faith-based, faith. And what does that mean? Have faith in your faith. What's that do? What good is that? He takes a Bible word and deceives people with it. I'm always amazed also with the lackadaisical or liberal attitude that people have toward the Bible. If they find something that agrees with their opinion, they'll be very strict. But if it doesn't agree with their opinion, they'll stretch that as far as you can stretch it. Always amazed at how people do that. And I'm also amazed at how precise the Bible is. When you really study the technicalities, how precise it is, and it closes what people think are loopholes, and you can't get away with it. And it's got to be very, very precise. Satan's most subtle forms of deception occur when he uses the Bible. The one that works more than anything is you add, subtract, or change a word or words. That's the most used method of deception, and that works on most people. You add a word, subtract a word, change it. People subtly don't see it, or at least they allow it. It's just adding a word or subtracting a word or changing a word. There's a big word in the dictionary that's called catachresis. And it's kind of funny if you look at all these words that start with cat in the front. Catechism, catholic, catachresis, cathedral, all these cats. And catachresis is taking a word and misapplying the word. It's a thing that the Catholic Church majors in, taking biblical words, misapplying it. But they're not the only one. That's the way you deceive people. If you say born again to a Mormon, they have a different definition than a Bible definition. If you say born again to a Catholic in the Philippines, they have a definition that's different. In fact, the Catholic Church in the Philippines put a full-page ad in a newspaper once because they were losing many Catholics. And they said, born again means in baptism in the Roman Church. Well, that's not what it means in the Bible. They gave that definition to it, catechesis. Okay, and this is the most effective way. If you say predestination down at DeMott, they have a definition, but it doesn't match the Bible definition. And so it's a very subtle, very tricky way of using the Bible to deceive. This is the best form of deception. And you have all these different brands of denomination churches because of that. Okay, the most obvious is adding, subtracting, change. That happened in Genesis 3. And then changing the definition of words. The way you define a word is how it's used. To figure out a Bible word is you run it in the Bible and see how the Bible uses the word. And then you get the Bible definition. And it makes it pretty relatively simple when you do that way. But who wants to take time to do that? Now, Satan and man both complicate the simplicity of salvation plus sanctification. But they complicate it. Satan does it to deceive and to destroy. Man does it to establish his own righteousness. Self-right. That's what religion's based on, the righteousness of man. God's motive for making salvation simple is because that way he gets the glory, he gets the credit. He said, Jesus said, except you be converted as a little child, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. A child has childlike belief. And that's what's necessary. Okay, now in Romans 3, in verse 30, I kind of pointed out, accented on the idea of circumcision, justify the circumcision or Jews by faith, and the uncircumcision or Gentiles through faith. Now, Jen, she listened to this video by Mike Pearl, and it's titled Faith and Belief. You can find it online. She sent it out to a bunch of people. Sent it to me, and I got a blessing out of it. And, you know, of course, if she wouldn't send this out to everybody, send it to me, then I can preach it and get all the credit for it. But Bob Jones Sr. said, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. So you always learn from somebody, and it was a true blessing. And so, of course, I'm going to do it in my style as far as belief and faith. Are they the same? This idea in Romans, Jews by faith, Gentiles through faith. Now, the amazing thing about God is that you don't have to understand the differences to be saved. He reads the heart. Okay? And so, the first thought I want to give you this morning, salvation by grace is through faith for Gentiles. Now, God doesn't require us to understand what he's saying, but what it will do is will give liberty after one's saved, or we're not kept back in bondage, to stymie one's growth. If you go to Acts chapter 8, there's a fella that was a Ethiopian, so he's a black man. He was in the political structure of Ethiopia, and he went up to Jerusalem because he was a Jewish proselyte. He was not a natural-born Jew. He was an Ethiopian. But he was coming to God through the Jewish people because that's what he understood. That's what Old Testament ideas. And it says in Acts 8:37, when Philip came across to start dealing with him, he asked about getting baptized. And Philip said, he didn't say you had to, but if you want to, you got to believe with all your heart. And he said this, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, right then, at that moment, he was born again. At that moment when he said that. With his heart, he believed it. Now, he did not add Christ to his life. This is a common phrase we have today. usually the contemporary.
You need to add Christ to your life.
Well, my life is kind of worthless. That's not going to do well. What does that mean, Adam? Okay, and then they'll say something like, well, you got to muster up the faith. And then some will say, well, you got to ask Jesus in your heart. Some will say you got to call upon the name of the Lord. You've got to repeat this sinner's prayer after me. And you got to give evidence of your faith. But, you know, none of that was in Acts chapter 8. Now, I'm not opposed to those things because God's reading the heart. He's looking at the heart. Now, he didn't say, I believe Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He didn't say that either. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Boom, at that moment, God took over. That's the power of God. Right there, he got born again. He was sealed, signed, set, and delivered. And he had a ticket for heaven at that moment by his belief. Okay, now if we look at this, and we'll run a few scriptures in, if you would, Romans 3:25 to verify this idea, where he said, for whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith. Okay, Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Galatians 3:14. The blessing of Abraham might come unto Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There it is again. What is he talking about? Now, possibly the Lord will give us a preciseness here on this, and will give us some liberty to grow in pleasing to God. But the Lord is reading the heart of that individual at the moment they got saved. I got saved when I was around 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. Don't remember it, just like I don't remember the first time I was born. I was very little at the time. And so you don't remember that. I remember the situation. I don't remember what led up to it. Somebody at school, a kid at school, said something to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I rode that yellow bus home. Fortunately, it was a longer bus. And I rode that bus home. And it was an old farmhouse. Went upstairs all by myself. Got on my knees beside my bed and placed my faith in Jesus Christ right then. Now, I didn't know what happened to me. I knew my conscience became alert. And I started confessing all my sins to my mom. My mother, she became my priest. She's in the sewing room, and I go, Mom, I did this, I did that. And I'm, and she's like, this kid's gone nuts. And I don't know if the Lord used that to show Mom and Dad eventually how to be saved, right? We were all kind of saved in that relatively quick time in there. Okay, but nobody told me anything about repentance or forgiveness or heaven or hell or nothing. They just told me about Jesus Christ, and I knew I needed him. Believed in Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord read my heart. Now, if you go to the gospel according to John chapter 20, whenever anybody is considering salvation or the Lord Jesus Christ or him, I tell them, try John. I told that to a witch one time. I was talking to this witch. And I asked at that time I learned, okay, I didn't know witches could be males, but he was a male witch. He was into Wicca. And I asked if he was an open-minded witch. She said, I'm open-minded. I said, okay. So I said, the gospel of John's got 21 chapters. Would you read it? Yeah, I'll give it a read. And I said, okay, would you pray something like this? Dear God, if there's a God, show me something. And read chapter 1. And I said, then the second chapter, dear Jesus, if you're real, show me something. And read chapter 2. And then read chapter 3. And before each one, just throw up some prayer like that. And a couple weeks go by. And then after a couple weeks, he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. He said, I did what you said. I said, okay. And I said, how far did you get? He said, I got 5 chapters. And I said, okay, what'd you conclude after 5 chapters? He said, I need to get saved. And I said, why? And he said, well, I prayed to your God and got an answer, and I prayed to mine and I didn't get anything. He only got five chapters, and that's enough. That's enough in John. That's enough. Because when you read through John, why was it written? John 20, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There it is. Now, it's funny that the gospel according to John, if you read believe, believe, believeth, believing, believeth, all through there, he doesn't even use the word faith one time. Not one time in the entire gospel of John. And you would have thought he would have known better than that. Because he had all the revelation. He's after Acts 28. And he didn't even say anything about faith. He said believe, 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 and believe. You see, why is it like that? Belief is a verb. Faith is a noun. It's like advise is a verb. Advice is a noun. Belief is a verb that is a concept that you believe a record of an event or a person. Belief really has no moral quality in itself to believe. Okay, if you tell me an event that you have in your life and I say, okay, I believe you. There's no moral quality with that. You know, somewhere in that schooling, they said 2 + 2 = 4. And I said, okay. I believe that. There's no moral quality in that in itself. I believe that. Well, I just put two things there and two things there. Oh, I don't do anymore. Okay, so that's, I just believe that. No moral quality in that. A person doesn't grow in belief. You have it or you don't. You grow in faith. But belief, you either have it or you don't. In 1 John 3, God, through the Apostle John, commands people to believe. John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't command us to have faith. He commands us to believe. And in 1 John 5, believe is birth. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Belief is birth. Faith is growth. Belief is the germination of a seed. How does a seed germinate? You place it in the earth, a little moisture comes in. The water in the Bible is a picture of the Bible. That's why the gospel is according to the scriptures. And you have some sunlight to produce heat. And Jesus is called the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. So you have the heat, the sun, and the moisture. And it germinates and sprouts. That's birth. And then it grows. That's faith. That's the process. But it doesn't start until birth takes place or germination. Belief can refer to accept something or someone to be true. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay, it's worthy to be accepted. When they accept it, they believe. Okay, and so unbelief can be an immoral quality, because John 16:9, unbelief is what warrants a man to go to hell. Unbelief in what? Jesus Christ. Because he's rejecting the offer of Jesus Christ. Faith is something you possess. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You possess faith. One walks by faith. One grows by faith. Okay, when one believes, when a person believes, God sends faith to them. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. What is the gift? It could be the faith, it could be salvation, but it looks like it's a faith. The faith is given. What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ is given when a person believes. And then not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Calvinists will say, God has to give you the faith, and when he chooses to do that, then you don't have a choice in the matter. No, when you exercise your free will to believe, then he sends the faith. And that's what warrants salvation. You see, belief is the switch, the light switch. Belief is a switch. At that switch, there's power. The wires are the faith. The power is the grace. The light comes on is Jesus Christ. He's the light. You see, belief in the farming world, belief is when the seed germinates, and faith is when the plant grows. In the I dare say we are big into guns around here, and so belief is the trigger. The barrel is faith. Through faith. The bullet is grace. The target is Jesus Christ. But what gets it? The belief. If you would look in John chapter 6, verse 29. Here's how subtle man is, or how subtle Satan is. John 6, 29. When I debated that water dog years ago, he brought up the idea that belief, when you believe something, that is a work. And I said, what? For me just to sit here and say, I believe, I'm working? Well, John 6 is where he come up with this idea. John 6, 29. But like I said, how do you take a scripture and deceive person? Is you take a word out, or you add a word, or you change the meaning. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Did it say the work of man? It's the work of God. He ignored the prepositional phrase. In his mind, this is the work of man when you believe. It's the work of God. The work of man, God here in the example of the switch is that power's right there. We just got to hit the switch. Then the power takes over. Belief in Jesus Christ is the work of God takes over when he hit that switch. And what does God do? Then he completes the entire process. Belief allows faith to grow. If you would look in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans and Galatians are strongly akin to each other, and they'll follow through. Now again, at the moment when a person hears the gospel presentation and they believe in it, we don't have to understand all these details. How many people drive cars and can explain how it works?
And there's a little thingy here, and it makes this,
all this stuff. Man, can you imagine, electric cars and what a mess that is? You can't even hear that diesel engine. Man, it's just nice sound, that diesel engine. And what a facade, all this green. It's a deception of... It's just nothing but a deception for socialism, communism. Okay, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all them that believe. Notice believe. When they believe, what does he give? The faith of Jesus Christ. What comes with that? The righteousness of God. Okay, and there's no difference. Chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, it comes in that order as far as that goes. You can all read through the Gospel of John. And just read believe and believe and believe and believe. It's all through their Gospel according to John. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. These two, Galatians is the first letter Paul wrote. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. The belief comes, the belief is a person has, they exercise their will, and God gives the faith, and what comes with that is the grace and the righteousness of God. This is the work of God. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given, this is so obvious here, might be given to them that believe. Man, put that one right beside Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Okay, if you would go to Acts chapter 8 again, or if you didn't go there first, Acts chapter 8. This is, I used to have a truck stop ministry down in Remington where I'd go down there about 7:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. They had a little chapel room. They had a TV room, and we would have a service there. I'd get two truckers, maybe six, most of the time two, something like that. And I usually ask them if they have a Bible question. I would just go with that. If they didn't, then I'd go with Acts 8, this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a great story. I mean, there's so much in there there's so many different areas you can go, different avenues. Acts 8, 26 to 40. And that's the storyline. You can hit salvation. You can hit scripture, Bible study. You can hit growth in grace. And if I notice, these guys get these, you look in these places, they'll have NIVs, now ESV is a new popular one. And I know that Romans 8:37, if you look at it, it's gone. It's missing. And so I'll be telling, just waxing through this story, and like one trucker said, I've learned more Bible here in 30 minutes than I have done in my entire life. And why? Because I speak straight and plain and common, ordinary, sense. And so I'll get down to 37, but before I read it, I'll say, now, it's wicked to take something out of the Bible. Just terrible to do something like that. And this is the most important verse. And then I'll hold my Bible up as I read it, and I'll watch my peripheral, and I don't know how many times I'd see a guy go like, and he'd look at his guy's Bible, and look at his. My Bible don't have that verse. I said, well, man, that's terrible. Must be a misprint. And I said, try Matthew 23:14, and it will be gone. It's gone. I said, man, must be a misprint. That must be a bad batch of Bibles. And then I said, try Matthew 18:11, and it's gone. And by then, they're starting to get upset. And I said, somebody sold you a bill of goods. You want a real Bible? And we'll trade. And this is how I built my stack of NIVs, and it's great for, target practice. And so, that's the best way to approach that. But what was the Ethiopian eunuch was doing? He was sitting in his chariot, car, 1 horsepower, I don't know, maybe it's a couple horses, reading Isaiah 53. Reading it out loud, God sent Philip alongside. He said, hey, I want you to go talk to somebody. And he heard the guy reading it. And he said, whoa, you got quite connections here. And he jumps in that chariot. And he said, you understand what you're reading? He said, man, how can I except some man guide me? He said, I'm reading about a four-legged animal, a four-legged lamb. But man, that's got to be a man. It's got to be a man. The way I'm reading this. And he says, you got that right, pal. It's Jesus. And he preached unto him Jesus. And what did he do? He believed the record. That's what he did. He believed the record. And what is that? That's when he got born again. And that's Acts 8:37. All the new Bibles play hide and seek with that verse. Some put it down in a footnote. Some will italicize it. Man, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Now, if you would, go to Romans 10. And this will show us belief. Romans 10, verse 16. Now, remember, this guy is reading Isaiah 53. He'd just been to Jerusalem, And the rabbi had probably been told to everybody, don't read Isaiah 53. And so that sparked his curiosity. Well, if he says, don't read it, maybe I will read it. And he's reading it. And then Romans 10, 16 says, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, obey the gospel sounds. Now, the water dogs say, here's how you obey the gospel. You repent. You have faith. You confess. You get baptized. You got to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's got to be in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you got to endure to the end. And that's all in hopes that you have eternal life. That's how you obey the gospel. That's how you deceive people. Keep reading and you figure out what does it mean to obey the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? How do we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? The death, the burial, the resurrection for our sins is you believe it. That's how you obey it. And notice Isaiah said that. That's the Isaiah of Isaiah 53. And this is verse 1 of Isaiah 53. That's what the eunuch was reading. And when Philip explained it, he said, I believe it. And what came when he believed it? And so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God took over. And at that moment, the man was sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, here's where the liberty steps in. Okay, if you would try Ephesians 1. You see, in the natural world, young animals have the highest mortality rate. Okay? They got the highest mortality rate mainly because of inexperience, where the predators go after the inexperienced. Okay? Another reason, easier to catch. And another reason, tender meat. Who wants to get an old, greasy deer when you get a nice young one? Man, I saw a nice, fresh kill last night away from Rensselaer, and I got home, turned right back around, got my pickup. Man, I got it. It's in my barn. It's going to be butchered tomorrow. I do that for our dogs. Dog food. Oh, they love that deer meat. And I saw another one, too, so I'm going to try to get it tonight. Okay, bud. Now, is that not a redneck? I'm not sure about that. That's a redneck. Okay, but in Ephesians 1, notice how it's working here, that we should be to the praise of his glory, verse 12, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth. So you hear the word of the truth, in particular, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now God takes over. What does God do after that? Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He takes over right then. And what's the Holy Spirit of promise called? Verse 14, earnest. The earnest. What's that? Earnest money. Down payment money. That's a promise you're going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. At that moment, your soul is redeemed. But your body is still in the natural world. Your body is still following the natural laws. And there's going to be a day he's going to redeem that body too. Now from this to this is where I do believe we can get some more liberty when we recognize the idea of through faith rather than by faith. What does the Holy Ghost use to change us? John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It says in Acts that we are sanctified by faith. So that's similar. In Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, so how did I receive Christ Jesus the Lord? I believe. Then it says, so walk in him. Same process. The more we believe the written words, the more our faith grows. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're reading a passage, you say, I believe that. It could be in your conscience. Okay? Now, this You know, I've always kind of wondered, if you would go to 1 Thessalonians 2, I've always kind of wondered, how is it that people have the same Bible I have, claim to believe that same Bible, but yet they don't see some of the things in that Bible that I see? Okay, now, a few years back, maybe, about in the 80s, in the mid-80s, a Christian celebrity jumped on a King James bandwagon. Okay, so he is now claiming he never corrected the Bible, never did this, liar. Okay, but at least he jumped in a bandwagon. And so a lot of fundamentalists jumped on this bandwagon of the King James. But if you actually sit down and start talking to them, they really don't understand the issue. And then they'll say something like this: the King James is the best translation. And then you ask them this: now, can a translation be inspired? And they will say no. So then, are you telling me that a translation is the work of men? Yes, that's what it is. Okay, now I understand why you can carry the same book I carry, but you don't get some things out of it that I get out of it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 explains it. I mean, the Mormon kids have a King James Bible in their little pouch that they're with you, but they don't believe it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Okay, not as the word of men. They say a translation is the word of men. So they don't believe it's the word of God. And why? What happens when that happens? But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's the switch. Now they hit the switch on salvation. I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. Okay, they got the switch there. But on sanctification, they hit the switch off. And they're in the dark on so many things that they're missing because they don't believe God has kept his word without error. Therefore, the Spirit of God doesn't work through them. Therefore, they don't really know what they believe. And you go to some of these fundamentalist churches, they have not a clue if they're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, post-pre-wrath, you know, post-toasty. They're not a clue. And the reason why is they really don't believe this book's the Word of God. Now, God's going to use the Word of God in spite of their disbelief, but is going to use it on somebody who believes it. And the way your faith would grow as you continue to study the Bible, you say, wow, that's unusual. I believe that. And if you have a sin that just keeps to pestering you, it's like a besetting sin, find scripture in the Bible that goes to give strength to that, and then get that scripture. I would suggest to memorize it and just say, I believe that. And when you believe that, the Spirit says, okay, now we can do some work here. And he will work. We had a fellow down at Rensselaer Church. He was an epileptic, bad seizures. He would have a seizure when he's riding his moped, and that's a rough thing to do. And I don't know how many times, you know, I'd been in a hospital with him after a seizure. Somebody called the ambulance, and he's like, oh. And we'd have he had seizure one time when I was at the truck stop. He would go with me to the truck stop. And so he's going like this, and the truckers were kind of looking. I said, don't worry about it. He'll be okay. And I just kept going. And he just laid on the floor. And what his pattern was, once he'd get done with it, he would go like that. And then he would just lay down. And I'd give him 10 minutes. And then he'd be good to go. And I just knew that was his pattern. Okay, and so that one time at a truck stop, he went through that, and I just said to the fellow, I said, he's okay. Just let him go. And then he laid down. He's laying on the floor, and I got done. I got done teaching, and I just kind of went over with my foot and said, Charles, you ready to go? And he goes, okay. He always said, okay. And when I was around him, well, I could say that real well. I said, Charles, how's this sound? Okay. He goes, okay. He was very knowledgeable of scriptures, but he couldn't verbalize it. Well, being a guy on disability and also being a bachelor, you know, life gets kind of boring. And so you can kind of fill in the gaps with, you know, kind of filling some of the gaps for him, and he wanted to quit smoking. He was just so mad about that, he wanted to quit. And so what did he do? He memorized Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe that. And guess what? He quit smoking. Didn't have to go to Smokers Anonymous or nothing like that. He believed the words, and the Spirit worked effectively in him. And he stopped. And he's quite a guy, that Charles Hood. But that tells us sanctification is very similar to justification. In that, the Spirit will give us power to either stop what we shouldn't be doing or to start what we should be doing. Yes, there's some things in a Christian life you can do by willpower. Yes, you can do it by upbringing. But then there's some things you just can't. And the Spirit of God has to be the one that guides us. Last thing, if you would, look in 2 Timothy. Now, in this idea of growth in grace, 2 Timothy chapter 2, remember, when we believe that initial belief, it's a work of God, he's going to complete his work. What if I go through difficulties and I lose my belief? Well, guess what? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy 1:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Did he say might? If we are dead with him, that's salvation, we shall live with him. Promise. Now, we can make the living with him better if we live a sanctified life. That's the next verse. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So the suffering gives us an opportunity to reign. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Deny us what? The verse is dealing with reigning with him. We will lose some rewards. But we will not override verse 11. What if the suffering is so bad that a person says, I don't even know if there's a God? There's a fellow years ago named Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand was in Romanian prison for 17 years, 3 years in solitary confinement. And when you read some of his writings while he's in prison, he even wondered if there was a God. Saved man. Richard Wurmbrand was a Jewish man, and he and Sabina married unsaved. He got a bad sickness. He went to a sanitarium to recover. It was about a year. During that time, he's like, walking around, and a neighbor individual came up and started talking to him, and the neighbor individual said, I've been praying for a Jewish man that I can witness to, and here's the Jewish man. And he gave him a Bible. This man was an atheist. Richard was an atheist, but God was working on him, and he got saved. And he comes home, and then eventually Sabina gets saved. Okay, and Then while he's in prison, he didn't believe anymore, because he would pray something like, God, it says you should supply all your need. I need my wife. How about bringing my wife? I don't get my wife, so therefore you're not God. Maybe you're not even there. Are you even there? And that was bad suffering, bad, bad suffering. Now, as time marched on, his wife's family was murdered by the communists in the prison camps. And one of the fellows that was part of that came into Richard's life, and he was witnessing to this man. And the man didn't believe in God. I don't believe in this. I've killed so many Jews. I've done this. I've done that. And he says, I will show you God. How can you show me God? He said, I'm going to tell my wife, who's in the other room, that you murdered her family. And she will come out here and make you a meal. And so he goes in, wakes her up, and he tells her, so there's a man out here that I do believe murdered your family. She gets up, walks out, sees the man, hugs him, kisses his cheeks, goes and makes him a meal. The man busts down crying, and he gets saved. Okay, now, nobody can do that in their human life. That's only God can do that. Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. At the point of being murdered by them. You know, with time, we can heal with time and eventually try to forgive. But when it's on the spot, that's only God. That's only God. That's a work of God. Now, that power is available to the saved. Okay? And it's belief. The more we read this book, the more we study this book, and the more we believe this book, the more our faith grows. And that we can walk in pleasing of God. In verse 13, notice, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That's the amazing work of God. Man will deny it, but God will not. It's a fascinating thing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul said. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see this yet simple, but yet complex in many ways. And I pray that by chance, if someone here has not placed his or her belief in Jesus Christ, they can right now, right there. And like the eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And for us saved, ones who are saved, that we can recognize that sanctification is in the same process. When we believe, then the Spirit gives us faith to act accordingly. And I pray that you'd help us to recognize that. While the piano will play, the altar's open if you'd like to use it. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right there where you're sitting. It'd be nice if you tell somebody, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for showing some of this to Brother Mike Pearl, and thank you that I was able to get some of it and got other things out of it. We thank you for that. We pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.